Financial literacy? Oh my goodness. There's a scary concept. And 15-year-olds are going to be tested on financial literacy, and we're going to have a discussion about what that exactly means in a moment. But let's kick financial literacy around for a minute. Who sounds smarter here?
Okay, but what if I want something, but I don't have any money?
You don't buy it.
Well, let's say I don't have enough money to buy something. Should I buy it anyway?
No.
Now I'm really confused.
Steve Martin from Saturday Night Live there. Compare that to this brainiac here who actually helped us all into a financial meltdown a few years back.
Well, where do you think you made a mistake then?
I made a mistake in presuming that the self-interest of organizations, specifically banks and others, were such as that they were best capable of protecting their own shareholders.
Can't even answer a simple question. That Alan Greenspan, what a chucklehead. Former Federal Reserve Chairman, if he can't see a financial meltdown coming, what does financial literacy even mean? Beth Koblenner joins us, Takeaway Work and Personal Finance contributor and author of Get a Financial Life. Beth, good morning.
Good morning.
So the premise here of our conversation is that, you know, for years we've heard all those disheartening stories about the U.S. kids scoring so poorly on math and science exams. Now, in the latest version of the test for 15-year-olds worldwide, they're going to begin to include questions about financial literacy. First of all, why? What questions? And, you know, it had me sort of scratching my head. What is financial literacy if Alan Greenspan can't even get it right?
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm on the President's Advisory Council on Financial Capability, and I was doing research on a project. And when I stumbled across the fact that those people who make these tests that we've been performing so abysmally on, American kids, 15-year-olds, are taking this test that's put together by the Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development, which is basically a Paris-based development group that includes 34 countries nationwide, and they all get together and they make this PISA test, it's called. It's the Program for International Student Assessment. And they decided to add one piece of it on financial literacy for 2012. And financial literacy means everything from checking accounts, how to use money, what money is for.
Right.
Well, the interesting thing was I had a good conversation with Anna Marie Lissardi, who is sort of the guru of financial literacy in the U.S. She is a Dartmouth professor. And although, you know, I tried to get some, you know, what are some of the questions? She wouldn't give me that. But she did check back with the other people on the committee. And she's the only American on the committee making up the test. And she said that what they're going to do is because you can't deal with dollars and yen and, you know, for these 15-year-olds who are from all over the world, they're going to sort of use a hypothetical money. They're going to make up a money so that people can take the test. And it points to the fact that this is really looking at how people understand money and the theoretical issues when it comes to money.
Is financial literacy different from thrift, being thrifty and frugal?
I think being thrifty and frugal is part of financial literacy. Financial literacy means understanding what we use money for, transactions that we use money in. I'd say that one of the most important concepts in financial literacy, in my opinion, is compound interest. What does that mean? How does money grow? When you pay a credit card, you're being charged interest. How does compound interest hurt you? How does it help you if you're saving for the very, very long
term?
And
do you have a running tally in your brain of how much the interest is costing you, or do you just sort of wing it?
Exactly. That's right. And also it comes down to, you know, how much – one big sort of philosophical debate has been how much is it tied to math? Do you have to be great in math to understand financial literacy? You know, back in the day, it was very interesting. I spoke to one academic who said before the 1940s, 1930s, when you look at a math textbook from our country, the way they taught math was through personal finance. And then that switched after World War II.
And it became much more sort of new math,
abstract new math.
Algebra, set theory, that sort of thing. Well, let's go back to the math. In the PISA test, P-I-S-A test, Americans are solidly below average on math.
Right.
Now, when you're down there hanging out with Barack Obama and all those White House people on the President's Council, of financial literacy.
Right.
What is the supposition about where Americans stand? I would think, theoretically, that because we're so sort of well off here in the United States, that Americans would take money for granted and would be really below average on this. What's your sense?
Right. Well, they started to do some testing. There's been a test that's been sent out for the last couple of years to high school students, and they've performed, you know, mediocre, but this test has gone to a very small group of people. I think what's very clear is if you look at other countries, places like Australia, where they have a new federal law mandating financial education.
Really?
K through 12, or a place like Singapore, where the, you know, Minister of Education has given lessons to teachers. There are CD-ROMs that the teachers have to study, because it's not just about giving out information and saying you have to teach this. You have to also teach the teachers what they're teaching, and they have to really know this material.
And in Singapore, they're well off enough that they could have, instead of future farmers of America, future hedge fund managers.
Perhaps.
But does financial literacy always translate into managing your finances well? I mean, I know that a big problem with college students, once they get their first credit cards and once they get their debit cards, is that it's not real money.
Right.
You just swipe it through, and as long as the transaction's approved, no amount of financial literacy is going to stop you from buying those leather boots.
I think what they're saying is instead of it being like woodshop or driver's ed, where it has to be so immediate, it really has to be just like we learn literature, not to be the great American novelist, although we all hope we will be one day. We learn financial literacy as part of our long-term education, so that by the time we do get that credit card, we remember learning that this is a dumb thing to use. Instead, we have the basic tenet that you don't buy something that you can't afford. If you have learned that lesson in many different forms throughout school, it no longer becomes this, oh, horrible decision, should I or shouldn't I? But it's part of your learning. And I think that's kind of the theory here, that it can't just be one-time class in high school that you learn on your way out, you know, senior year, and you're not really paying attention. It has to be a well-thought educational process, and I think that's what people are starting to talk about, and it's in the air.
What's the impact on the economy? What's the impact on the economy, assuming that some ideal rate of financial literacy could be achieved among Americans?
I think that the hope is that, and why they're doing this in the test is what this Anna Marie Lusardi is talking to me about, is that we have had financial crisis not only in the U.S. but all over. So if we could educate people, young people, about how not to get into these problems, maybe that will help long term. Also, realistically, governments don't have the money anymore to help us with healthcare, to help us with savings for our future. Companies don't have money to help people with pensions. So young people have to know this information now, because they're going to need it for their future.
To set up their own accounts, their own revolving accounts, figure out the contributions, the interest rate. Well, you have some tips for teaching financial literacy for kids on our website, right?
I do.
Beth Koblenner, blog post with some of her own tips at thetakeaway.org. And we're asking you to join this conversation at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Post a comment on financial literacy at thetakeaway.org. All kinds of instructions on how to be a part of the conversation. Beth, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Takeaway work and personal finance contributor and author of Get a Financial Life.
Well, many of you are already weighing in on whether or not it's ever a too early time to begin teaching your kids about finances. We got a text from a listener in Warren, Michigan that says, I'd say as soon as a child starts getting an allowance, it's time to start teaching them about how to manage their finances. Absolutely. Give us your financial literacy tips. How do you teach your kids about money? 877-8-MY-TAKE, or you can join us at our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/thetakeaway.
Study Beth's ideas hard enough, and you too could be appointed to the President's Advisory
that
Council on
true.
Financial Capability. I'm John Huckenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.